such a waste of a young heart. What a pity, what a sham. What's the matter with you, man?
This is The Sum of His Parts, a supernatural fanfic written by Kellefanfic, read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated G.
Don't you see it's wrong? Can't you get it right? Out of mind and out of sight.
Think of it as a personal favor. Bobby Singer sighs long and low and rubs a hand over his face. His ear is getting sweaty with the phone pressed between it and his shoulder. He'd been listening to Jim Murphy tell him about this hunter who'd had a run of bad luck, which had culminated in something happening to his kid. A kid along for the ride, for Christ's sake, and had managed to wedge into the conversation a way to ruin Bobby's day. He'd swear if he weren't on the line with a man of the cloth. It is a personal favor, Bobby points out, and Jim chuckles, a sound as familiar as Bobby's own lined face in the mirror. Well then, I'd owe you one, Jim amends. Nah, I think I owe you about 100. I'm not a man who welshes on his debts. Bobby relents, although he knows he'll regret it. Other people are a messy business, and he tries to stay away from them as much as possible. He's not sure how he became the wise man on a mountaintop, but he is currently trying to discourage it, and letting in a guy and his two ragamuffins for a visit will send out all the wrong signals. Bobby doesn't want to be open for business. There's one other thing, though, Jim says, and Bobby rolls his eyes, although the other man can't see it. There's always something else with Jim. I told him he was doing me a favor. Said he needed help with something. Like what? Bobby asks incredulously. I don't know. Be creative, Jim huffs. Something that'll take him a few weeks, at least. Enough time for them to just heal. Jim's voice has turned down serious. His "why haven't you been to confession lately?" voice. It's a tone that can't be denied. Bobby takes a moment to sit back in his chair and look about his place, or more accurately, the stacks of books that basically swamp the downstairs. The ones he's been meaning to organize and catalog for years, but he can't get help with because you can get more than paper cuts from these types of tomes. Yeah, I can think of something, Bobby says finally. Bobby didn't get the specifics, but when the large black Impala pulls up to his house, he sees for himself just what kind of hell these people have been through lately. The father, sliding out of the driver's side, is moving with a care that would be more at home on a man 40 years his senior. He's being careful of everything, like he's just one big walking bruise. A little tyke with shaggy hair bounces out of the back seat on the side farthest from the house and runs around to the other door, opening it and then standing stock still. Bobby's brows knit, but raise when a hand appears on the small boy's shoulder, and another boy, taller and older by the look, face almost obscured by white bandaging, emerges. The younger boy raises a tentative hand and waves, while his charge is settling himself down on his feet, and Bobby waggles his finger back with a smile he wasn't expecting. "You okay, Dean?" Father calls. "Yes, sir," the taller boy replies immediately. The younger moves forward only when the car door behind them both squeaks shut, and Bobby racks his brain because Jim had told him three names. Sammy, he thinks, cogs finally settling into place and producing the memory. As they make their slow way towards his house, Bobby tenses when Dean stumbles a little. Sammy immediately spins and puts both small hands against his brother's chest, but Dean bats him away with a disgruntled, "I'm fine, Jesus!" And Sammy turns back, now kinda shuffling his feet as he progresses, so he can sleep beside the small rocks that litter the ground. "John Winchester," John introduces as he reaches Bobby and he puts out a hand. Bobby returns the shake, still with half an eye on the two boys who have almost reached his front porch. From closer, Bobby can see that Dean's mouth and nose are clear of the bandaging, and a tuft of hair sticks out from the top. There's dark tendrils of what look like soot peeking out from underneath, dusting his cheeks. And Bobby bites the inside of his cheek to stop from asking just what the hell happened to someone who couldn't be more than 10 years old. Bobby Singer, Bobby finally blurts, realizing he'd just been standing and pumping John's hand without a word, urging on an awkward handful of minutes. They drop hands and John turns to his boys, putting a hand out and behind Dean, but not actually touching him, like he's almost herding his boys forward into the house. "I appreciate what you're doing," John says, eyes now fixed on Dean, who has been guided by Sammy until his hands have bumped up against the front door. Dean feels around for a moment before he finds the catch of the screen and pulls it back, shuffling out of the way just enough to be able to pass through. "I thought you were here to do me a favor," Bobby says almost absently, and John huffs a wry chuckle. "Jim is salt of the earth, but he can't lie worth a damn," John says, with a rueful shake of his head. "If this is any kind of inconvenience, then you just say the word and we'll..." "Nonsense," Bobby immediately dismisses, waving a hand. "Had a few things need to do in for years. I'm grateful you came." John looks incredulous for a moment, but then rubs a hand over his face and nods. "I'm not real comfortable with taking charity." "I'm not real comfortable with giving it, and I don't intend to. I told you, I got stuff needs doing." "Okay, then," John says, and his face clears a touch. Inside the house, there's a thump, and Dean cursing words Bobby wasn't sure a 10-year-old should know. Some even he didn't know. Both men look at each other for a moment. "Last chance," John offers with a grimace, and Bobby laughs. "I'm telling you, I seen them pull the pins out with their teeth in the movies. I wouldn't put a grenade that close to my noggin." Bobby is nodding along to Eric Deed's latest rant when a hush falls over the bar. Two men, or more from the look of them, boys, have entered. Bobby cranes because it's a special kind of someone that puts a crowd like what Ellen tracks to quiet, and even though the boys have their heads together when they stand, so we can't exactly see their faces, Bobby knows despite the years just who he's looking at. "Holy hell! That those Winchesters people been talking about?" Eric asks, leaning up out of his own seat to have a look. Bobby waves Eric back down onto his butt with an impatient hand. Dean is 19 if he's a day, and Sammy 15 or 16 if he's just had a birthday. They have no business being in a bar of any sort, no matter the particular vocation of the clientele. Bobby feels something in his chest grip when Dean finally faces forward, and he's got wraparound shades on. Even still, the edges of his scarring can be seen. "They both blind, or just like one of them?" Eric presses, looking keen as a new puppy. Eric's one of those hunters who likes to pass along news, which, done by a woman, would be called gossiping. "Just one of them," Bobby says, and wishes to hell, despite the crowd in the place on a Friday night, he'd sat somewhere else. Eric wasn't a bad guy, and Bobby had been in a rare mood to have contact, shoot the breeze, as it were, with another human being. But that urge has well and truly passed him. "Which one?" Eric asks, and Bobby rolls his eyes because it's just a dumb question, but he supposes, watching Dean and Sammy weave their way through the room, that it really is hard to tell. For a moment, he's caught up in memory, standing on his back porch, still intact then, before one hell of a storm ripped up half the boards last summer. Sammy's sitting on the back steps, looking at Dean intently, and Dean's lining up a rifle with bottles on a car. Bobby's thinking to himself that it won't really do much harm, since all that's out there is junkers anyway. Then Dean shoots, and the cans fly up and away, one by one. Dean turns in Sammy's direction unerringly and raises his arm in triumph, and Bobby's about to say something because it's a goddamn miracle, but Dean isn't acknowledging his presence at all. With something cold curling through him, Bobby realizes why. Dean hasn't seen him yet, because Sammy hasn't. Bobby shifts his weight a little, and there's a tiny creak in the boards under his boots. It's too soft for Dean to have heard, but the moment Sammy turns his eyes in Bobby's direction, Dean's face shifts too. Sammy blinks for a second, and then smiles to see him, and Bobby catches out of the corner of his eye, Dean going from standing sure to slumping a little, rifle swinging down by his side, and face going off-center. It wasn't true, Eric snorts, and Bobby snaps back into the present to see the fallout of some bright spark having chucked a bottle in Dean's direction. Dean's over tables and hunters alike to get to the man who pegged it, and Sam is watching after him, same intent expression on his face Bobby had seen all those years ago. It is true, Bobby says, and Eric turns a raised eyebrow on him. He ducked, Eric says incredulously. Bobby sighs hard and gathers himself, checking for wallet, keys, and knife as he stands. There's going to be a brawl because Dean's gone after Bill Blakeney, who isn't exactly a lone wolf type, always has some meathead friends with him. Bobby doesn't feel like fighting his way out. Dean Winchester is as blind as they come, Bobby says, but doesn't bother responding when Eric just dismisses him with a snort. Bobby doesn't see them for about a year after that, and then they turn up in the most unlikely of places. Every 2 to 3 years, hunters gather. It's nothing particularly organized, just word of mouth passed on. It's a chance to catch up, take stock, and lick wounds. The motliest crew of caravans, trucks, and vintage cars arrive in a beat-down field in the middle of nowhere and stay, at the most, about 4 days. Bobby's never been sure how the timing has worked out. He knows someone must do it because right when the hunters go off reservation, there's always a strange lull in supernatural activity. There's still stuff going on, but nothing pressing and nothing too violent. And Bobby, in his more fanciful moments, imagines another field somewhere on the other side of the country, with all manner of demons and monsters gathered for the pure joy of shooting the breeze and eating barbecue. It takes him a second glance to realize it's Dean Winchester sitting in amongst the kids at the fire outside Tara Henley's campervan. There's never very many kids at these gatherings. Not many hunters who have them, but there's always a few. John Winchester wasn't the only one to start down this road with a few passengers in tow. Dean is so swamped, he looks like one of those men with bee beards, little ones basically crawling all over him, and all he does is pluck off the more adventurous of them that get up around his shoulders or tickle the ones that get too close. He looks at ease in a way that his daddy never did, like this particular life suits him down to the boots. Bobby takes a moment to take in the wraparound sunglasses and edges of scarring that still dominate his face, and lets his gaze slip sideways, finally finding Sammy standing a little ways off, just outside the circle of the fire's light. Bobby expects to find him alone, because he's pretty sure Sammy's not the chatty, friendly kid he once was by all he's heard, but he's not. Denny Pritchard, taken in by his Uncle Jacob, who is currently hunting whatever son of a bitch slaughtered his baby sister right in front of the 6-year-old, is standing by Sammy's side, holding onto his arm. "Hey, Bobby, long time no see," Dean says, from right by Bobby's shoulder, and he could kick himself when he jumps a little. Bobby turns just enough to see Dean smirking at his own little joke. "Hey, kid, how you been?" he asks, trying to sound normal, but it's hard. He's seen a lot, enough to turn a man's stomach and his hair white, but it unnerves him all the same that Dean appears to be looking at him dead on. He ducked. "Can't complain," Dean says with a shrug, and he's looking friendly, but Bobby's not getting a particularly friendly vibe. If anything, he feels like Dean's bristling. Dean reinforces this sensation when he basically moves so that he's hurting Bobby backwards, just enough that Dean is now standing between him and Sammy. At that moment, Dean reminds Bobby of his oldest dog, Hercules, with his shoulders up and head going down like he's on guard. Later, Bobby catches sight of the two of them. Sam's pressed against Theo Howard's pickup, and Dean's leaning in, hand twisted in the collar of Sam's shirt, but It's not an aggressive hold. More of a possessive one. You really sure? Dina's asking. And Bobby hears Sam sigh, like this is an argument they've had over and over again, without really getting anywhere. I know what I'm doing. You look thinner, Dean says, pushing his other hand up under Sam's shirt, and Sam squirms. I can handle it, Sam insists, and then sighs, dropping his head onto Dean's shoulder. I don't know what will happen if I stop. What will happen to you? Don't ask me to do that, because I can't. I can't risk you. Hey, it's okay. Just tell me if it gets bad. If it gets bad for you, it gets bad for me, okay? Anything happens to you, it happens to me. We're one. We're the same person, okay, Sammy? Bobby backs away, melts into the shadows of the evening because he feels like he has just witnessed something nobody else should. It's another 8 months later, and a diner outside of Alabama has Bobby spotting Sam by himself. The boy looks gaunt, with heavy shadows under his eyes, and he's nothing but skin and bones. He's got a jacket on that makes him look all of 12, because it's swamping his thin frame. Bobby's just about to approach, but the men's bathroom door swings open and shut, and Dean strides out. Bobby freezes because Dean's not wearing the wraparound sunglasses anymore, and the scarring on his face is mostly gone, just a mild discoloration around the eyes and brow. What's most troubling is that Dean has a paper in hand, and he's scanning it as he returns to his brother's table. Bobby backs out of the diner and has the accelerator on the floor, fishtailing out of the parking lot before he knows it, because just for a second, a mere moment, when Dean sat down, his and Sam's shoulders didn't just bump. They merged. Yeah? Didn't even know there was a third Winchester. Bobby's back at the roadhouse, and drinking alone this time, but catches the tail end of the conversation. He whips around, and Billy Hicksum and Terrence Weathers are bent over their whiskies with their journals out. What's that you said? Bobby asks, not bothering to apologize for the intrusion. Billy blinks a little, but then clears his throat. I said I didn't know there was a third Winchester boy, he repeats, and Bobby bites his tongue to stop from insisting there isn't. Would have thought it was just one of them wild rumors those boys have springing up around them like weeds after a rainstorm, but I didn't see him for himself. Spitting image of the daddy, Terrence adds, nodding slowly. Yeah, Claire Durham says she ran into him last month down in Texas. Helped clear out a harpy nest. He says he's the middle one. Name's Sean. Bobby feels cold all over. Bobby hasn't screamed since he had to kill his own wife. But he nearly does when he comes down his front steps and sees John Winchester standing in his turnaround bright as day. Only, when Bobby recovers from his near heart attack, he can see it's not John. The man's a dead ringer, for sure, from a distance, but closer, there are subtler differences. John's eyes weren't that green, and he didn't have moles on his face. Got a beer for us? The man asks, and Bobby doesn't miss the collective. He swallows hard and knows he should be heading back inside to retrieve his shotgun. Sean, is it? Bobby asks instead, and the man smiles, eyes crinkling and dimples digging deep. We're one. We're the same person, okay, Sammy? That's what they say, he agrees with a small nod. The end. My satellite heart lost in. Author's note. This turned out a lot stranger than I first imagined. Like many of my stories, I started out with the intention of writing something straightforward. My requester wanted a hurt comfort Dean, and also liked the story, Summer of Standing Still, which is why this ended up being a Bobby point of view. I haven't really read anything like this before, but I have read many and varied takes on the Blind Dean story, so this kind of diverted itself. At least, that's my excuse, and I'm sticking to it.
Stop by, stop.